I'm Aaron Conley, research fellow in the East Asia program at the Lowy Institute. On September 2nd, the leader of Cambodia's opposition party, Khem Sukha, was arrested by the government of Cambodian Prime Minister Hun Sen. Since then, he has been charged with treason, his party, the Cambodian National Rescue Party, dissolved, the independent newspaper Cambodia Daily shut down, and two journalists affiliated with Radio Free Asia arrested. I'm here with Musa Kua, the deputy leader of the now-dissolved Cambodian National Rescue Party, who fled the country in early October to avoid imminent arrest herself. Musa Kua, welcome to the Lowy Institute.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
You and your party and its predecessors have been demonstrating against and running against the ruling party, the Cambodian People's Party, for a long time. Why is this crackdown taking place now?
It is very clear that Mr. Hun Sen, who's been in power for over 35 years, the over 45 years that the Cambodian people have, and then especially the democratic forces, have planted the seeds for democracy at the grassroots level. Mr. Hun Sen is afraid of that movement from the grassroots. And the results of the last election, our party, the opposition party, has penetrated in the strongholds of Mr. Hun Sen. That's what he fears most.
When you say the last election, you mean the election in 2013?
The local election in 2017.
Earlier this year?
Earlier this year, yes.
When you did better than any opposition party has done in commune elections?
Exactly. From 300 councillors, we went up to over 5,000 elected councillors at the local level.
Out of how many total?
Out of, we got about 44% of the votes.
Mm. So very, very close, almost neck and neck.
Exactly.
How is your party, the opposition party, doing now that Khem Sukha is in jail? You are overseas. Sam Rainsy, also a former leader of the party, is also overseas. How are you coping with this new situation?
More than ever, Cambodians abroad, Cambodian Australians, for example, are very united. Last night, there was a huge demonstration in front of the White House. And on the 5th of this, just last week, Cambodian Australians went to Canberra. Over 500 of us went, demonstrating, protesting against the dissolution of the party. It is the first time ever that Cambodian abroad demonstrating in front of the major institutions and showing a very united force, united voice, one voice only, free Mr. Khem Sukha. Let's have free and fair elections in Cambodia.
What about your supporters in the country? They've been relatively quiet. There were big demonstrations 4 years ago after allegations of fraud in the last general election. But they've been relatively quiet since Khem Sukha has been arrested. Should we take that as a sign that they don't care about the CNRP anymore, or are they waiting for a signal from you as to what to do?
Not at all. First of all, 5,000 elected officials coerced, are forced, are threatened by the forces of Mr. Hun Sen to defect to his party. Less than 10% have defected out of fear. The rest are waiting quietly for a signal from us from outside. Our signal is very clear. Free Mr. Khem Sukha, let's have free and fair elections. And this is why the role of Australia, a major player in the Paris Peace Accord that brought peace and stability to Cambodia in the past 25 years, the role of Australia is very important.
Let's talk about the role of Australia. You've referred to Gareth Evans, the former foreign minister here, as a hero for the role that he played in the Paris Peace Accords. But what has Australia's role in Cambodia been in recent years? And what is it doing about your situation now?
Australia has been on the side of the democratic forces in Cambodia, for example, investing in the local organizations, investing in the reform of the police and so on. However, there are certain institutions like the military, like the police, the Ministry of Interior. Those institutions remain in the hands, in the control of Mr. Hun Sen directly. And Australia has been trying to reform those institutions, reform Mr. Hun Sen. It's not going to work. It's been 25 years. And more money into these institutions means full support for Mr. Hun Sen to stay in power. That is not acceptable.
Is it time for Australia to give up on this strategy of engagement? They've invited him to Australia in March as one of 10 ASEAN leaders. who are coming to Sydney for the ASEAN-Australia Special Summit. Is that an appropriate invitation for Australia to issue, given what's going on in Cambodia today?
It's appropriate if Australia has the courage to speak to Mr. Hun Sen directly and then make a statement at the ASEAN Summit about its support, Australia's support for democracy, for free and fair elections, and ask Mr. Hun Sen to define his legitimacy, to define his plan for to include the opposition and have a inclusive free and fair elections in 2018. Australia has to lead, take the lead, and Australia that at that summit, ASEAN summit, has to show that it is truly committed. It's not just behind closed door policy. It is about democracy in the region of ASEAN.
Some people say that regardless of what Western countries do, that because Hun Sen gets so much aid from China, from Beijing, that it won't matter, that he'll just turn to China for whatever he needs, and that he is, as he said himself, he's fine with Western countries not providing aid to Cambodia anymore. Is that right?
That's not right. When a leader who has been in power for over 30 years turns to China, it means a very desperate move, yes. And it means it's not that leader is no longer concerned about human rights and democracy and free and fair elections. China can support. China will always be a friend of Cambodia. China has always worked with Cambodia, no matter what. Who is in power. At this moment, China is helping Mr. Hun Sen as an individual, that China is not helping Cambodia as a nation. And on top of that, China cannot give Mr. Hun Sen legitimacy. And this is why democratically elected governments need to say to Mr. Hun Sen, you are not a legitimate leader. Over 3 million Cambodians voted for change. Let them have another choice in 2018, which is the choice to elect the leaders that they want through free and fair elections.
You were a minister in a coalition government that Hun Sen led in the late 90s. You actually know him quite well. He's been in power now for 3 decades. What drives him? Is it power? Is it money? Is it fear? What drives Hun Sen to do the things that he does?
All of the three. When you are a dictator, it's about power. When you are a dictator, it's about your own money. And the family of Mr. Hun Sen and his cronies, the companies that are with him, have accumulated billions of dollars out of corruption, from illegal logging, deforestation, the resource, natural resource of Cambodia. They have benefited all from it. And of course, it's paranoia. When you are a dictator, you live in your own bubble, and the bubble will pop. And we want it to pop, but only through free and fair elections. No more bloodshed in Cambodia.
Well, one of the things that another Western country, the U.S., has done is it's announced that it will it will not issue visas to members of Hun Sen's government. Do you think that that'll be an effective source of pressure on Hun Sen? Does he care about whether or not he and his family members and the people around him can enter the United States?
Yes, he cares. In less than 2 days after the sanctions imposed by the U.S., the government of Cambodia wrote to the government of the U.S. and said, would you reconsider your position? And on top of that, we want to go further than that, which is the freeze of assets. Let's not forget that there are a lot of high-ranking officials in Australia right now, with their children having an Australian education, with assets in Australia. Some of these assets must be investigated because we know it's money from corruption.
Hun Sen attracts a lot of support from China, but what about Vietnam, which installed him in power in 1979?
We know Vietnam and China are competitors, especially in the region of Indochina. Vietnam is not happy with Mr. Hun Sen wanting to have both Vietnam and China at the same time. But so far, Mr. Hun Sen has not delivered to Vietnam by being with China over this issue of the South China Sea, which is a disputed area between China and Vietnam and other countries.
What would be your message to Australians who might be listening to this about what they can do either individually or as Australian citizens who have contact with government officials about Australia's role in helping to resolve this crisis and return Cambodia to something resembling real democracy?
Democracy is the future of any country. Without democracy, a country like Cambodia that has survived the Khmer Rouge, where over half of the people live below poverty and have lived and suffered under one same regime, it's time for Australia to reevaluate its policy toward its relations with Mr. Hun Sen. Think of Cambodia as a whole, but the Australian government must not give Mr. Hun Sen any more chances to maintain its power. We want Australia to be determined to be with us and to give Mr. Hun Sen a very clear signal. Free, fair, inclusive elections. Otherwise, there will be sanctions from Australia. We are very, very confident that the people of Cambodia want change, and that change is that we as opposition can deliver. We have proved in 2013 and 2017 elections that the people, more than 40, or over 45% of the people have voted for change and have given us, the opposition party, the Cambodia National Rescue Party, a chance, and we can move forward with our people, because we believe that the power should be the power of the people. For the people to have a chance is only to have free and fair elections.
Musa Kua, thank you so much for coming into the Institute, and best of luck in your efforts to return Cambodia to democracy and peace.
Thank you.